Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I began yesterday, The Mountain of the Lord. And we've been looking at some passages in the book of Isaiah. And as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, I started to share that there are three things that as God's people we need to see and understand and do that will bring us into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. First of all, we have to know, each one of us, in our own heart, in our own way, however God ministers to us, we have to know that we have a meaningful purpose for our lives. People who live without meaning, vision, purpose, or direction are people who have missed one of the most important things in their lives, knowing who they are as a child of God. And if they don't grasp that, if they don't seek it, if they don't understand it, they're failing to walk the course that God has charted for their lives. So we have to understand, first of all, God has a reason that you're alive now. Like Esther was told, you're here for such a time as this. That's true of us. We are born in this at this time, regardless of what our age. God wants us at this time in history. We could have been born, 2,000 years ago, but He had you and me here now at this time. And we're living in the end days. That means we get to have extra portions of His grace to be able to live in the perilous times that Paul said would surely come. But our God is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And we, in Jesus, not in our own strength, because you'll get worn down in your own strength, He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. So we think of that in terms of physical things, financial needs, material, but beloved, also in terms of spiritually. So we have to know we have a purpose for our lives that God has established and ordained before we were born. And then, secondly, it's important we know what that calling is, that we have to seek the Lord. And many times, beloved, it is aligned with the things, with our heart's desires, with the things we like to do. As I shared once, for example, if you don't really like to cook, you wouldn't think God would call you to open up a restaurant, right? So that might be a pretty basic and simple analogy, but the things you enjoy doing, you may be a real people person. You may just really enjoy getting to know people. I mean, you've got the hallmarks of an evangelist. They love to share the Word of God, establishing relationships. So God will show you as you ask Him that you will know your calling. We're to make our calling and election sure, isn't that right? And if we don't know what our calling is, how can we be what God wants us to be? And that being the case, then we would miss God's highest expectation for our lives. Let me share some verses in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3-10. According to His divine purpose, He begins by saying, grace and peace to you. According to His divine purpose, He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That covers it right there. Life, all the material, physical, natural, spiritual needs, and godliness, the things pertaining to the Spirit of the Lord, that through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. This is mind-blowing when you really meditate upon it, that ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise God. And he goes on to say, and besides this, give all diligence. In other words, don't be lazy. Be very aware spiritually of what God wants you to do. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So that's what he wants us to do. There's our calling. That's just a general description of what we all are to follow. But there's specific activities, directions he wants us to go in. And then also, thirdly, what God wants us to know is that he has expectations of us. And clearly, if there is one thing so many in the church need to know, is that what does God expect of us? He's not a harsh taskmaster. He's a loving Father. And we just shared, he'll give us everything that pertains to life, our natural life, and to our spiritual life, godliness. God's desire for us is that we zealously pursue, this is important, listen, both the knowledge and the practice of his will. He wants us to be very committed, to be zealous in pursuing the knowledge, what does God want, as well as not just in theory, but he wants us to do it. Remember, James said, faith without works is dead. We need to practice the will that he reveals to us in personal ways. In general ways, we have the word of God. He expects you and I, beloved, to be lights in this world, lights that shine brightly, a pattern, if you please, for others to see and to make them want to be like us. I don't know, when you first came to the Lord, weren't you perhaps drawn by those Christians you met and there was something about them, you really were just drawn to them? Well, that's what he wants us to be. He expects us to be salt. Not salt without savor, but strong, salty salt. In Matthew 5, 13 and 14, Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15 says, neither do men light a candle or a lamp and put it under a bushel. That wouldn't make sense, right? But on a candlestick or a lampstand, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Note, all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Beloved, there's just no way around it. Light dispels darkness. Darkness can't overcome light. Light always defeats darkness. When you light a candle, turn on a light in a dark room, the darkness is dispelled. It's just that simple. And salt, well, that's used for seasoning and preserving. All right, let me share now a couple verses in Isaiah, the second chapter. I want to read 17 through 20. And remember, going back to this, the original purpose, God was speaking to Judah and to Jerusalem, and he was rebuking them. They were going through all these religious observances, and yet they weren't doing the things in terms of God's will. And this is what God cares about. He doesn't care how many times you go to church or how many times you might witness. If your heart's not right, I mean, look at the Pharisee when he stood praying. He did it to be seen of men. He said, I thank you, God, I'm not like that publican over there. And Jesus made the comment, there was one that was justified, and that was the publican who wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but was repenting of his sin. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so verse 17 says, this is what God is going to do. Pride will not stand. Ambition won't stand. There's only one ambition we should have, and that is to see Jesus glorified. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And of course, he was not only referring to his crucifixion and death, but also in our daily lives, as we lift up Jesus, those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, they're going to be drawn. That's what happened to me. I mean, I got around some real Christians, and it's like, oh, wow. And that was the beginning of the end of my worldly walk. And I came to Jesus, praise God. Anyway, verse 17 says, "And the loftiness of men shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish." Well, you know, in Judah's time, you might have been talking about gold and silver idols, but you know, we have idols in our lives today. We can set up idols. We don't bow down to statues, but there are idols, things that take the place of God. And that's what we need to search our hearts. God is looking for a people that are holy, who are pure. And the rebuke to Judah in that time of Isaiah, we can apply it to our own lives. Let's not think, well, that doesn't affect us. Well, we do what we do, you know. Let's not have that attitude. Let's keep a humble heart, a broken heart, a contrite and a broken heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And in verse 19, it says, "And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty when he rises to shake terribly the earth. Woe unto the unrepentant," or those who've turned aside and have left the way of the Lord. "It will be a fearful day of reckoning. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one by himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats." Verse 21, the basic go hide in caves for the fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he rises to shake terribly the earth. And so, beloved, we're not going to throw away idols of gold, I doubt, but there are plenty of idols that we have can set up in our lives. And remember, the work of the enemy is very gradual. He does it just a little bit. Remember the frog in the boiling water? He stays there, and he ends up getting boiled because he didn't realize the temperature was changing. So let us search our hearts, and that's my heart, that God's is God's heart for us, that he find no wicked way in us, that he would lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. I love you. I thank you for joining me, and we'll just continue on tomorrow, sharing a lot of scripture and applying it to our lives. I love you. Thank you for your prayers. The announcer will give our contact information. If you have prayer needs and the Holy Spirit's moving on you, I don't have to say anything else. All I can say is you better obey him, because he's got a purpose. He knows. I love you. Thank you for your prayer support, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.